Did you hear that? Jesus calls you beloved. He wants you to rest under His wings. So let us go to His Word. Scripture reading comes from Luke chapter 4. These are the words of Jesus. If you don't have a Bible with you, there should be one in the chair in front of you. It looks like this, has a blue cover. You can turn to page 859. These are the words of Jesus, but they're also the words that were prophesied about Jesus in Isaiah. So this passage here contains prophecy of Christ in the Old Testament. Jesus is going to be speaking of that. Remember, we talked last week how Jesus would come into the synagogue and teach. Here is an example where he comes into his own hometown and does some teaching. They would often read from one portion from the law of Moses and another from the prophets. This particular instance is from the prophets. So let's follow along as I read Luke 4, beginning in verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." So Jesus here was speaking of how what the scripture was speaking of was he himself. And they start asking, "Isn't this Joseph's son? Isn't he from Nazareth?" They did not receive him. Instead, they saw it as some sort of blasphemy. But indeed, Jesus was sent for this very purpose, to preach good news, to set the captives free, those who are in bondage to sin, those who are blind to sin, you and me. This is why Jesus came. Well, please turn back to Mark chapter 1 if you're just visiting with us today. We welcome you, and we're glad that you're here. And we also ask that you turn to Mark chapter 1. We're going through the book of Mark. This is the shortest of the Gospels. We're looking at the life of Jesus. Last week we looked at the authority of Jesus, that he came teaching with authority that people had never seen or heard before. He had authority over spirits, over demons, casting out evil spirits. And then he had authority over sickness, healing those who were sick, including Simon Peter's mother-in-law. Well, last we read in verse 32 of chapter 1. That evening, the sun went down and they brought him all kinds of people to be healed. It says actually the whole city gathered together at the door. And we think Jesus must have been tired. Have you ever been so tired that you just wanted to get away for a little while? You just need a break. And then someone comes finding you. Well, the same thing happened to Jesus. Let's read beginning in verse 35 of chapter 1. "And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him, and said to him, 'Everyone is looking for you.' And he said to them, 'Let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out.' And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. Let's pray together. Father, as we have just sang, speak, O God, and I will hear you. Let your will be done. Help us to draw near you. Feed us, Lord. We need your help now. We ask it by your Spirit and pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. This last week, I was talking to a friend of mine who's a pastor in another state, and he was telling me how they just hired an assistant. And I said, well, what has that been like for you, that now you have this assistant doing some other things? He said, you know, one of the things that has done, it's now allowed me some time to think. Because, you know, when you're just going through day to day, you're just trying to keep up, you're trying to keep your head above water, trying to just get the basic things that needed to be done, done. But now I actually have some space to think. And that really struck me. What would it be like to have time to think? You guys know what this is like. Some of you are so busy, you're so pressed. There's so many demands, you're doing just one thing to the next, you're just trying to stay afloat. Sometimes I find myself having gone through the whole day and realizing I haven't even gone to the bathroom yet. Well, this was Jesus. Jesus was busy. He was healing so many people who were sick, who had diseases. He was casting out demons. He was doing this after the sun went down, right? Well, here's the question. We're all busy. We all have demands. How do you recharge? What do you do to get your strength back? You might find yourself frazzled, exhausted. What do you do? Well, some of you say, well, I sleep. I go to bed. Now, that can be a good thing. Some of you say, you know, I just need to be alone. Some of you recharge when you're alone. Some of you hate to be alone. And you actually recharge when you're with people. Some of you may turn on the TV. Well, that's how I relax. Just kind of sit back, watch TV. Some of you read. You like reading. Some of you like caffeine. Well, the way I relax is to have a good cup of coffee, and that helps me get going again. Some of you love the outdoors. Maybe you go hiking or canoeing or whatever it might be. But don't you find yourself so often when you try to refresh yourself, you actually find yourself more exhausted sometimes? You said, I got a good night's sleep, but I'm exhausted. It's like when you go on vacation, and at the end of your vacation, you're like, I need a vacation. We all need vacations from our vacations, right? Well, what about God? Does God fit into our time of being refreshed at all? And I think often that we, even as God's people, don't take time to remove ourselves and spend time with God alone. And I'm preaching to myself here too. I have a friend who sometimes will take a chair and he'll bring it out into the woods and just spend time alone with God. And when I first thought that, I thought, that's a little bit strange. But I thought, you know what, I'm going to try that. And so this last week I tried it. I took a chair and I found some woods and I went out into the woods to get away from the noise, from the demands. I actually forgot my cell phone that day, which is not a good thing if your wife is this pregnant. And we realize how tied we are to our electronics, don't we? Some people talk about it as your electronic leash. You can't get away from it. And I think, you know, actually, our electronics, I have an iPhone. Some of you have iPods, iPhones, Droids, whatever you want to call them, whatever they call them. But they can actually be a real great hindrance. They're a great tool that connects us with a lot of people, but there's a downside too, isn't there? They really hinder us from being able to get away. Because if the phone rings, even if it's on vibrate, say you're in a thought and all of a sudden, oh, the thought's gone. And it's hard for us to get away now. I think it's harder for us to get away now than it was years ago. I was helping my parents move the other day, and I had my other cell phone, but I couldn't figure out what the number it was. It's our emergency phone that, you know, you pay as you go. And so here I am trying to remember what is the phone number. I'm trying to look in the phone. I don't know the number. I finally had to tell my parents, I don't know what the phone number is. So if you have to call me, because I was going to be over at their old house moving stuff, if you have to call me, I'll just have to call you. And my dad looked at me and he said, what did we ever do before cell phones? You know, it's a good question. And oftentimes we find now we are never alone. Even if we're alone, we're not alone. Because we've got something with us. Well, in this particular instance, I had forgotten my phone, so I was out in the woods. Okay, no one can call me. Nothing can happen here. And I was sitting there looking at the beautiful leaves changing. And I started thinking, I was thinking about this passage, and I thought, why am I here? What am I here for? And immediately, Jerry actually reminded us earlier, I'm here for God's glory, to glorify God. I started thinking, well, why are all these trees and leaves and purple flowers, why are they here? They're here for God's glory. You see, even a minute alone can help refocus. But I'll tell you what happened. So I began to pray, because that's what Jesus did here. He went out to a desolate place and he prayed. And I start feeling drops of rain. It starts to sprinkle, and I thought to myself, I bet if Jesus was praying and it started raining, he would stay. So I thought, all right, I'm going to stay. And actually, the rain stopped. But then it started again. And it got even harder. And all of a sudden, I thought, oh no, I left my car windows down. And I thought, Jesus wouldn't have had a car. And so I left, and I had to go roll my car windows up, and I thought, how hard this is. This is quite an interruption. Karen asked me, so how long were you out there? I said, well, about 20 minutes. And you know what? It is difficult. It shows it's difficult to get away. Jesus was interrupted too. It was difficult for him to get away. We are Jesus' disciples. As he called his disciples, he's called us to follow him. And if he calls us to follow him, we know we're in a spiritual battle. We looked at that last week, how Jesus is casting out evil spirits. The needs are great. The demands are all around. And because of all of this, we must take time to spend alone with God. How do we do this? This is the big question, right? Well, let's look at three different things today. Number one, verse 35 says, I want you to see the points in the scripture. Verse 35 says, he departed. If you have the NIV, it says he left and went off. Well, sometimes in order to be alone, we have to leave, don't we? Look at what we see first. The time, rising very early in the morning while it was still dark. The Greek here is while it was night. So it's still dark outside. It's early in the morning, maybe 4 o'clock in the morning, something like that. The sun has not risen yet. Why would Jesus rise when it's still dark? We don't know where he was staying. Maybe he was sleeping over at Peter's house here, which is where they were at, his healing. We don't know, but he got up very early in the morning and he left. It was still dark. This is the time when people are still sleeping. Perhaps there were people who had come who hadn't been healed yet that night, or they arrived in the night and they're sleeping. They're going to wait till the morning comes so then they can be healed by Jesus. Well, think about this. When, time-wise, can you be alone? Think about not just being alone with God, but being alone, period. Well, for some of you, it's very early in the morning, like Jesus. For some of you, it's very late at night, maybe after your kids go to bed or whatever it might be. Some of you, it's maybe in the middle of the day. Think about the time when you can be alone. But the place matters too. Look what it says. He went out to a desolate place. This is actually the same word used for the place that Jesus was for 40 days when he was tempted. The wilderness. A wild place. A place that is lonely. He was communing with his Father. And we see that this is actually a habit of Jesus. Luke 4 says, after he healed many, he went to a desolate place. Luke 5, after healing took place, he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. Matthew 14, after he fed the 5,000 people, he went up on a mountain by himself to pray, and there he was alone, Matthew says. What would it look like for you to depart, to leave? Maybe it would look as simple as you turning off your phone or leaving your phone behind for a half an hour. The people can wait, right? Maybe it's someone would watch your kids. And I think spouses, I think about this, and I need to be better about this too. Spouses, we need to be sensitive to our spouses to allow them time to have alone, especially if we have young children, because the demands are great. Well, secondly, we see spending time alone with the Lord is spending it in prayer. Jesus didn't just get alone. It wasn't just to be alone. Verse 35 says, there he prayed, the end of the verse. There's communion with God, relationship with Him. What is prayer, anyway? A preacher who's no longer living is named E.M. Bounds. He says this, prayer is the expression of a relation to God. It's a relationship. A yearning for divine communion. It is the outward and upward flow of the inward life toward its original fountain. Think about that. The outward and upward flow of the inward life toward its original fountain. So prayer is a relationship pursuing this communion with God. So we must ask the question, why might we not pray? Well, some people say, well, I'm just too busy. E.M. Bounds says this, other duties become pressing and absorbing and crowd out prayer. Choked to death would be the coroner's verdict in many cases of dead brain. Choked to death. That's quite a picture. We're too busy. There's so many things. Someone's calling me. Someone's texting me. Whatever it may be. As good as those things are. Another reason you might not pray is, I'm just too tired. Even when I get up early in the morning, and I've tried this, getting up early in the morning, sometimes I'll fall asleep. I'm too tired. Well, guess what? Jesus was too busy, and he was too tired, and that's why he prayed. That may sound strange to you. He prayed because he was busy and tired. He was busy and tired. Look at verse 32. The sun came down, and they came. How long were the people there? Jesus, heal me! He's casting out demons, healing people who are sick, and then he's up before the sunrise. Let's estimate, how much sleep do you think Jesus got? Maybe 4 hours, 5 hours? Who knows? Maybe he didn't sleep much at all. But then you say, but wait a second, Jesus is God. He doesn't get tired like we do. No, Jesus, yes, he is God. And yes, he did get tired like we do because he was fully God and he was fully man. Luke 8:46 actually tells when a woman touched him, it says he perceived that power had gone out from him. So there's something here that's draining for Jesus. His need is great here. Now, I'm not saying don't sleep, okay? Don't hear what I'm not saying. This is a case-by-case basis. Sometimes there are no demands on you, and you can sleep for a long time, and that is a blessing from God. But sometimes the demands will be so great that the best thing we can do is to be alone with God in prayer. Why else did Jesus pray? Because he loved and needed his Father. He is there to connect with his Father. We don't know what he prayed. Did he praise his Father for healing all those people? For using him? Was he asking his Father to help his disciples? He's fostering the relationship. We see some of Jesus' prayers, John 17. We see that there's love there, there's intimacy, there's requests. Lord, I pray that you will glorify me. I pray that you will love those who are yours the way that you love me, that they will have love for each other. He's praying for others. You know, when you're in love, many of you have been in love. Well, hopefully many of you still are. You stay up late, don't you? You get up early. Your relationship is growing. You don't sleep much, and you don't seem to be too tired either. Why is that? When Karen and I were in college, we were beginning our relationship. There was one morning we stayed up till 7 in the morning, just talking, and the public safety kept coming and kicking us out of the buildings that they had to close. So finally we sat in the car and we're talking and it's getting light out. Because it's exciting. You grow your relationship. You want to get to know each other. The communion is there. You have a desire to be with each other. Do you remember a time that it was like that with your relationship with God, with Christ? You just wanted to be with him. But now, some of you who've been married a long time just want to go to bed, right? And same happens with our relationship with the Lord. But Jesus, he loved being with his Father. Why else would Jesus pray? Because he was leading his disciples. Think about this. He's showing them how to live. He's demonstrating to his disciples what it means to live before the Father. That this is a priority. Or else Jesus knows if they don't commune with the Father, they're going to burn out big time. And they're going to burn out fast. Because the needs are huge. Or they'll get carried away into deception. Or they will fall into temptation. We can really learn a lot from Jesus here. Even though he was busy, even though he was so tired, he went and prayed, spent time alone with the Lord. Well, finally, point number 3, spending time alone, Jesus did this to remember his purpose. Verse 36 through 39 tells us this. Peter and those who are with him come looking for him. The Greek is actually says to hunt down, to hunt someone down. This is I'm going to look and we are going to find him, no matter how long it takes. You know, so in a good way, it's to seek. So he comes and he says, they find him finally. Oh, here he is. Guys, he's over here. Everyone's looking for you. In other words, what are you doing here? There's people who need to be healed. Why aren't you out healing? It's not the first time, as one points out, that Peter had his own things in mind, didn't he? And the devil here is at work. Look at what the devil does. Let's just look kind of behind the screen for a minute. In chapter 1 earlier, the devil tempts Jesus in the wilderness. He tries to get him to give in to temptation. When that didn't work, what did the devil do? He tries to disrupt Jesus in the synagogue with this evil spirit calling out and revealing his identity before it was time. And when that evil spirit was cast out, the devil comes back again. And he comes even with his own disciples saying, everyone is looking for you. The needs are pressing. You need to be spending your time like this. Trying to distract Jesus from his purpose. This is one reason Jesus went to be alone with God to pray. Let's keep him busy. Some people, you know the phrase, if the devil can't discourage you, he's going to keep you busy. Right? Jesus does not let the demands determine his purpose. Did you see that? Jesus does not let the demands of other people determine his purpose. He could have stayed and healed. He could have said, wow, I'm becoming famous. I'm becoming well known. Verse 28, his fame spread everywhere throughout all the surrounding region of Galilee. But guess what he says to Peter? Everyone's looking for you. Okay, let's go somewhere else. Let us go on. Why did Jesus want to go to the next towns? There was more work to be done here. Because his purpose was not to heal only. His purpose was primarily to preach. He says here, let us go on to the next towns, verse 38, that I may preach there also, for that is why, or this is the purpose for which I came out. Remember we read in Luke chapter 4, what does Isaiah 61 say about Jesus? For I have come to proclaim, there's the word preach, I've come to preach the good news to the poor. Do you know why? Because if he just came to heal, the people are going to die again. They'll be healed from their disease, they'll grow old, and then they'll die. What good has that done? Well, it's given them a little bit better life on earth. Oh, that's great. There's value in that. But spiritually, eternally, the value is in preaching the gospel, in healing souls. And some people think that in verse 39, where it says he went throughout all Galilee preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons, it doesn't mention healing the sick there. We know he was doing it, but it mentions casting out demons because that affects the soul rather than only the body. That there is a real shift there. What was Jesus preaching? He was preaching, back in verse 15, we have the exact words that he was preaching. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. He's centered on the gospel. He's basically saying, those of you who are in bondage to the law, you're obeying all of these rules, thinking that these rules will get you into heaven, but you're not good enough. You're breaking the rules. I bring a new gospel where there's salvation in returning from your disobedience and turning to me, the grace that I give you. It's no longer law, but now it's grace. It's not works, but it's grace. It's faith, believing that Jesus is the one who came to die on the cross for your sins. Now, do you know what this means? This means Jesus did not meet all the needs that were there. And we cannot either. There are so many demands and so many needs, we cannot meet them all, and Jesus doesn't either. He's focused. He knows, I am here to preach. He could have been easily distracted, that he would have just stayed and healed. But he knew the gospel needed to go forth. When you spend time alone with God, he will refocus your reason for being here on this earth. Because we can really waste our lives, can't we? We can spend them on so many different things. And we forget, we start asking ourselves, why am I here anyway? What am I doing here on this planet? Helps us remember our purpose, who we are, who God is. Helps us remember the time that we have. Time is short. God has given each one of you certain gifts and abilities. Sometimes you forget those. How should you use your energy? How should you use the gifts that God has given you? Spending time alone will help to focus this. Now, at this point, I hope that you have not taken away the fact that you might wrongly hear, you need to pray more. Because that is not what this passage is saying. Motivation from guilt is not the proper motivation. It is motivation from love. Do you think Jesus went to his Father and prayed because he felt guilty? Oh, I slept an extra minute. That's not why Jesus went to his Father. It's because he loved him. And so for you to go, to leave here today and say, I need to spend time alone, spend time alone, spend time alone, because I'm going to feel guilty if I don't. That's the wrong reason. Some of you are terrified to spend time alone with God because your view of God is that He is just going to sit there and condemn me. And I'm going to hear all the awful things I have done. God is not a condemning God for those who are in Christ Jesus. He is a heavenly Father. I just said earlier in Sunday school, if my child is learning how to walk and the child stumbles and falls, am I going to stand there and go, "You failure, get up off the floor"? No. But isn't that so often how we think of God? No wonder we don't want to be alone with Him. But God is not like that at all. We are told that He has adopted us as His children. However, if you are here today and you do not know Jesus Christ, then He is not a loving Father. There is wrath. There is sin that needs to be dealt with, that needs to be paid. And you will spend an eternity apart from God, apart from His loving care, where you will be exposed, you will be condemned. And so that is why, perhaps why you are here today, to hear of the gospel of Christ, the grace that you do not need to live in that state, that by faith you can repent, you can turn from your sin, from trying to do everything yourself, and believe in Christ. And be adopted into His family, where He would see you and love you as His child because of what Jesus has done. Jesus lived and died for your guilt, for your shame. He was condemned in your place. And He has restored you to God, to be near Him, to be in His presence, to fellowship with Him, so that you can call Him Abba, Father. This is by His grace. And what He does is He renews our desires to leave the noisiness of our lives, to be with Him, to refocus. He's the one who changes our hearts, to renew our minds, to enable us to fight sin, to see the realities, to live with purpose and strength. So I'm going to leave you with one question. Will you pray that God will increase your desire to be in greater communion with Him, if you're one of His children? And if you're not one of His children, will you turn from yourself and turn and believe in Him this morning? Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for our Lord Jesus Christ, who out of love went to be alone with You. Forgive us for our wrong thinking, our fear of being alone. Some of us don't even like to be in the car without the radio on because we don't want to be with our own thoughts. And I don't blame those of us who do that, because left to ourselves, our thoughts are not good. So we need You to remind us who we are. We need You, Christ. We need You, God, to tell us. And we thank You for Your Spirit, who testifies to our spirit that we are Your children, that You have died for us, that You live for us, and that now we can live for You. Increase our faith, Lord. May we love You more. By Your grace, we know apart from You, we can't do anything. So will You do this in our lives? Maybe this week, Lord, You would help us to see what it would look like to even be alone with You for 10 minutes. And may it be a great, refreshing, refocusing time. We ask that You would do this, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.